The book of Leviticus, we have there the feasts of Israel. We're considering this week the seven feasts of Israel. And the second feast is mentioned there, Leviticus 23 in the verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And then we're turning back to the book of Exodus, the chapter 13. There we have more details given to us concerning this particular feast. The book of Exodus, the chapter 13. Exodus 13, and we're reading from the verse 5. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. With God's word before us, we'll bow together in a word of prayer, asking for the Lord's help and presence here this evening. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast promised to be with us and to give us words from thyself. We thank thee that thou hast said, where two or three are gathered in thy name, that there thou art in the midst. And Lord, we would claim thy presence this evening. We thank thee that this is thy word, breathed by thee. We rejoice that it is without taint or stain. And we ask, Lord, that as we turn to it this evening, that thou wouldst teach us by thy Spirit. Lord, we long tonight that not just our minds, but that our hearts might be instructed. We thank thee that thou art the potter, and we are the clay. And we'd ask, Lord, tonight that thou wouldst come, and that thou wouldst shape us and mold us, and make us after thine own image. We ask of thee. Lord, to this end I ask for help. Lord, touch these lips with a fresh coal from off the altar. Give us words from thyself this evening. Give us that power that cometh alone from thee. Lord, come now amongst us. Take away every distracting thought. Focus our minds upon thee. For this we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. The book of Exodus, the chapter 13, read there in the verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. On the 14th day of the first month, the children of Israel celebrated the feast of the Passover. The sun setting, they taking a lamb without blemish, they shed its blood, sprinkled it upon the doorposts of their homes. They then passed its flesh and its innards through the fire. Feasting upon it, they then, on the next day, which was the 15th day, kept the feast of unleavened bread. Preparing for this feast, they washed the walls and ceilings of their homes and scrubbed and scoured every corner. When finished, a number of pieces of leaven were then hidden throughout the house. It still being dark, the rest of the family, taking a candle and a spoon, they searched for these pieces of leaven. Finding them, they taking them outside, they then destroyed them. And of course, as we have seen, leaven in the Bible speaks to us of sin, urging the Corinthians to put away their corruption. Paul said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." And the lamb in the feast of the Passover being slain just before sunset, which marked the beginning of a new day, there was no gap between these two feasts. No sooner was the blood applied than there was to be a discovering and then a driving out of the leaven which speaks to us of sin. And you see, salvation is not merely the end of an old life, but it is the beginning of a new life. The blood being applied, there must then immediately be a discovering and a driving of sin out of the heart and out of the life. Indeed, no sooner did Lazarus begin to breathe with newness of life than we read in John 11 in the verse 44, "And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." And no sooner did Lazarus begin to breathe and come forth out of the grave than there was to be a taking off of the grave clothes, which speak to us of death and sin. And you see, salvation is but the beginning. As night leads to day, so salvation leads to sanctification. And being saved, we're no longer to be running towards sin, but rather we're to be running away from sin. You know, one of the greatest preachers in Scotland, was Robert Murray McShane. And although he had only 29 short years upon this earth, yet, what use he made of those years. He saw revival in the parish of Dundee. And Robert Murray McShane used to pray, "Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a redeemed sinner to be." And you see, as well as praying, we are to be seeking to be as holy as we possibly can. Having the blood applied, we're not to stop, we're not to sit still, but there is then to be a driving out of sin, a driving out of corruption, out of our hearts and out of our lives. You see, tonight it doesn't matter how long we've been on the Christian road. It doesn't matter tonight how much we have come along in the road to likeness to Christ. We have not arrived. And there needs to be that continual searching, that continual driving of sin out of our lives. And so tonight I want to draw your attention to leaven, by which was prohibited even in this second feast. I want you to notice firstly here the danger of the leaven. The prohibition concerning leaven is repeated at least 5 times in this one chapter. Being a type of yeast, it being mixed into the dough, it had a dramatic effect upon it. You notice here that it caused it to spread, revealing its power. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 in the verse 6, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" And in Galatians 5, we find him repeating this truth a second time. In those days, people baking, they would break off a little piece of the dough, rolling it into a little ball. They would then place it into a glass of water. With the passing of time, it's souring. They then, taking it out, they would place it into the next batch of dough. And rather than just affecting a little corner of it, it permeated through the whole thing. Acting as a starter, it changed its whole character. And like leaven, sin cannot be confined to a part of the life. Taking up residence, it reproduces itself again and again and again. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking unto his disciples, he warned them in Luke 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." He warned them that if they proved unfaithful in small things, they would eventually prove unfaithful in great things. Indeed, Achan, beholding a Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, he coveted them. And the covetousness nigh entering into his heart and spreading like leaven, he then found his hand reaching out and taking it and then hiding it and then my deceiving. And you see, while sin enters like a needle, it spreads like a great oak. It grows and grows until it corrupts the whole life. You know, a couple of centuries ago when a burglar came to burgle your home, they would always bring a little boy with them. And if they couldn't get through the window or they couldn't get down the chimney, the wee boy would. And getting in, he would then let the burglar into the house. And you know, so it is with sin. Little sins entering in, they then spread, letting greater sins into the life. I'm sure you've often heard the old phrase, it only takes one rotten apple to destroy a whole barrel. And just as it only takes a little bit of leaven or one rotten apple to destroy the whole, so it is with sin. Entering into the heart, entering into the life and being harbored, it grows and spreads and spreads and spreads until it corrupts the whole life. You tell one lie and what happens? Well, you have to tell another lie to cover the first lie. And then you have to tell another and another and another and another until, you are constantly being untruthful. And you see that sin in your life, it may seem small, it may seem insignificant, it may seem harmless. You may think to yourself, well, it poses no threat, it's no danger to me. But you know, if you let it stay in the life, like that little bit of leaven, it'll grow and grow until it corrupts your hands, corrupts your sight, corrupts your whole being. It spreads, entering into the life. Not only does it cause it to spread, it causes it to swell. Preparing for this feast, we read in verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. And there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Leaven being a type of yeast, it was like baking powder. Being mixed in with the dough and fermenting, it creates thousands of small air pockets. And while it doesn't change the weight of the bread or the color of the bread, it causes it to swell many times its original size. It puffs it up. And you see, sin not only pollutes the life, but it puffs it up. It fills it with pride. Indeed, rebuking the Corinthians and speaking of sin as leaven, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 in the verse 2, "And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." The terrible sin that was mentioned here was the sin of incest. One of their members was living in an immoral relationship with his stepmother. And sin like leaven spreading amongst them and puffing them up with pride, they tried to rationalize and excuse sin in their midst. You see, sin not only decreases us in the eyes of others, but it increases us in our own eyes. It fills our hearts with pride. You know, a young girl one day came to her minister and she said, "Pastor, I've got a terrible sin in my life and I just can't control it." She said, "Every Sunday when I come to church and I sit down, I look around, and suddenly I realize I'm the most beautiful person in the whole sanctuary. And what can I do about it?" And the pastor looked at her and he said, "Ma'am, that's not a sin. That's just a mistake." But you know, my friend, that's what sin does. It enters into our hearts and lives and it fills us with pride so that we can't see our sin. We can't see our errors.
We begin to rationalize it. We try to explain it away. We can see the problem. And such a sin, it may seem small. That thing may seem insignificant. But you know, if you allow it to remain in your heart, it'll spread. It'll corrupt every part of your life. And it'll fill you with pride. So that you can see your sin. Or try to rationalize it. How many backsliders have you met that are willing to admit they're backslidden? Now, if you'd done the things they did, you would hang your head in shame. But there they are, trying to rationalize it. Trying to excuse it. That's what sin does. But I think here not only do we notice the danger of the leaven, but we notice also the discovery of the leaven. After evening prayers the night before the Passover, the father of each household initiated a search for leaven. In the Hebrew it was known as Bedekat Hametz. You notice here the process specified, relaying the words of the Lord. Moses said in verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. In cleaning the house, the wife was then instructed to deliberately take 10 little pieces of leaven and to hide them throughout various parts of the home. Coming in from the field, the head of the house, he then took a wooden spoon, a feather, and a small piece of linen cloth. And because it was night, he also took a candle. And searching every corner of the home, it was only as the light of the candle went forth that he was able to see the leaven, able to discover it. Able then to wrap it in the linen cloth and to take it away. And of course the psalmist tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the candle, the light, speaks to us of the word of God. And you see, it's only by the word of God that we are enabled to discover the leaven or the sin in our lives. Without the word, we're not only left in darkness, but will be defiled. Job, lifting up his voice, he cried out in Job 42, am I there? I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And you know what the storms could not reveal, the Scriptures did reveal. Hearing the word of God, he suddenly became aware of the sin that was in his life. And you see, the Scriptures are revelatory. They not only reveal Christ, but they reveal our corruption. No wonder James, taking up his pen, he described the Word of God as unto a mirror. You know, when you take a mirror and you look into it, you'll not see yourself as you would like to see yourself. If you could, I would be about 3 inches taller. I'd have a lot more hair. I'd have a few pounds less. But you know, when you look into a mirror, you see yourself not as others see you or as you would like to see yourself, but you see yourself as you really are. And why is it that sometimes Christians can live in open sin and rebellion and it never seems to bother them? Is because, my friend, they never look into the mirror of God's Word. Just as the priest in the Old Testament making his way into the tabernacle, he would come to the laver. The laver, of course, speaks to us of the Word of God. And as he would approach the laver, which was filled with water, he would see his own reflection in the shining brass, and looking at it, he would see his defilement. And then coming to the water, he was able to wash it away. And you see, if we're to see ourselves, not as society sees us, but if we're to see ourselves as God sees us, we need to come to the Word of God. It's only as we read the Scriptures, it's only as we look into the mirror of God's Word that we can see our failures, see our shortcomings, behold our carelessness. See that which is displeasing unto God. Wasn't it John Bunyan said, this book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You see, it's only as we come to God's Word, only as you read God's Word, only as you pray over God's Word, that you'll begin to see your shortcomings. Take away the Word of God, and the child of God can live in rebellion. It doesn't bother him. He doesn't see his faults. He doesn't see his shortcomings. How vital the book is in our lives. We need to be in the Scriptures. Not only the process specified, notice also the period specified. Unlike the Passover, which lasted just one day, we're told there in verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. This feast lasted 7 days. Of course, in the Scriptures, 7 is a number of completion or the number of fullness. There are 7 days in the week. And in keeping the feast 7 days, he was indicating here that they were to be searching their lives for leaven and casting it out for the whole period of their lives. You see, the work of sanctification is a progressive work. While it begins at salvation, it continues unto glorification. Indeed, speaking my to his children in the faith, John, taking up his pen, he said in 1 John 1 in the verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And he reminded them that if they thought they had no sin, not only had they deceived themselves, but they were saying God. God was a liar. You see, the seeking out of leaven is not a passing employment. It's a permanent employment. It's something that must be done again and again for the whole period of our lives. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was preaching on one occasion, and a man came to him and said, Mr. Spurgeon, I want to tell you, I've got the second blessing. And having the second blessing, Mr. Spurgeon, I haven't sinned now for many, many years. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon shook his hand and said, Sir, that's great. I'm delighted to hear that. Come on home with me. And we'll have a time of fellowship together. And Spurgeon got him home. And Spurgeon said, you'll take a cup of tea. And Spurgeon boiled the kettle and he got the tea as hot as he possibly could get it. And he took the cup to the man. And just as he reached it to the man, he gave the cup a little push. And you know, the hot, scalding tea fell over the man, and he jumped up and gave off in bad temper. And Spurgeon said to him, Sir, where's your perfection now? You see, my friend, we'll never be perfect this side of heaven. Someone has rightly said, the man that thinks he's perfect is nothing but a perfect nuisance. A nuisance to himself and a nuisance to everyone around him. We'll never be perfect this side of glory. And as such, this work of sanctification is an ongoing work. There needs to be that daily searching of our lives. That daily coming with the candle of the Word of God. My searching our hearts, searching our lives, asking God to reveal to us that which is wrong. That which is displeasing to Him. And grieving to the Spirit of God. There needs to be that discovery of the leaven. There needs to be that discovery of sin in our lives. But notice also here, there was the destroying of the leaven. Knowing its power to spread, they not only washed their walls and their ceilings and boiled all of their cooking utensils. But you know, they took a little sharp object and they would scrape out every crack in the wall and every crack in the floor, lest there would be some leaven there. You know, it was a thorough work because he said in the end of that verse 7, and no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Finding the little bit of leaven, the head of the house would take it and he would wrap it in a piece of linen cloth.
And lifting up, he said, all kind of leaven that are in my possession, which I have not observed nor removed, shall be null and counted as the dust of the earth. And rising up the next morning and saying again similar prayers, he took it out and he burnt it. It was completely destroyed. And my friend, having searched our hearts for sin, there must then be a slaying of those sins, a complete destroying of them. The Apostle Paul, taking up his pen, he said in Romans 8:13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." There was to be a mortifying or a putting to death of the flesh. Was that not the mistake of Saul? The Lord came to him and he said, "I want you to destroy the Amalekites." The Amalekites typify the flesh. And he said, "I want you to destroy the Amalekites and I want you to spare none of them." And of course you remember he spared, killed some of them, but he spared the sheep. He spared the king. And God didn't spare him. He lost the kingdom. And my friend, rather than encouraging sin, there must be an executing of it, a putting of it to death. John Flavel, that great writer, said, "It's easier to cry against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own." You see, it's one thing to discover sin. It's one thing to discover carelessness in our lives. It's another thing to destroy it. It's another thing to put it to death. How many people will say, "Yes, I know it's not right. But you know, that's as far as it ever goes." The Lord Jesus Christ speaking in Matthew 16 in the verse 11, we find Him warning them of the leaven of the Sadducees. And of course, you'll remember that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. Sometimes people will come to you and they'll say, "Well, preacher, doctrine doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter what a man believes, as long as he's worshiping God, as long as he's sincere." But it mattered to the Lord. It mattered to the Lord. And you see, this evening there must be a driving out of our hearts and lives, not only of the leaven of deceit and the leaven of defilement, but there must be a driving out of the leaven of doctrinal error. That which is contrary to the Word of God must never be tolerated. Must be driven out. Driven out. And His leaven was not to be eaten. And His leaven was not even to be seen in their house. So, we must not tolerate sin. There must be a driving of it out. Driving it out of our hearts. And driving it out of our lives. A putting it even where we can't see it. Putting it away. It's a thorough work. Thorough. Notice also here was a transforming work. Look at verse 9 of the chapter. "And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes. And the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." Why, the Jews, taking these words literally, they place phylacteries or little leather cases with a little bit of the Word of God upon their foreheads and upon their hands. That's not the real meaning of the passage. Keeping the feast, he was indicating here that it would affect their eyes and their hands. Or their service, and more than that, it would affect their speech. You see, sanctification, it changes the life. It transforms our speech. It transforms our service. It transforms even our very sight. If we're letting the Word of God fall upon our hearts, and if we're seeing those things and driving them out, they're going to change our lives. Going to change the way we talk. It's going to change our service. It's going to change the places that we go. We'll not have to tell people we're Christians. They'll know. I remember, you know, about 20 years ago going to an ordination service. And I suppose at that time these
new digital watches just had come out. And there was a man sitting, I think, just about two rows back from the pulpit. And no sooner did the preacher start than the alarm went off in his watch. Now, he didn't have a clue how to switch the alarm off. And so what he did was he got his hand and he put it over the watch. And boy, he held tight and tight until his hand must have been almost ready to fall off. But you know, it didn't matter how hard he held. We could all hear the alarm. And my friend, if there is this ongoing work of sanctification in our lives, it'll be seen. It'll be seen. People will take note that we have been with Jesus. It'll be seen in our service. It'll be seen in our speech. It'll be seen in the things that we watch. Not enough to discover the leaven. It had to be destroyed. Not enough for us to see our sin. It's got to be destroyed. And then lastly, I want you to notice the deficiencies of the leaven. In later years, obeying God, we find the children of Israel keeping this feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you know what affected their prayers? Keeping this feast, we read in 2 Chronicles 30 in the verse 27. And their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to His holy dwelling. And keeping the feast, putting out the leaven, God heard and God answered their prayer. And you see, tonight, if our prayers are not to be denied, there must be a denying of the flesh, a driving of sin out of the heart. Andrew Murray said, our lives must be as holy as our prayers. And you see, we could be earnest in our prayers. We could pray long. We could pray eloquently. But if there is sin that God has come and God has highlighted in our lives and it's tolerated, our prayers will not be answered. God will not hear. And God will not grant our petitions. My friend, the leaven affected their prayers. When it was dealt with, God answered. I think it also affected their praise, because in that same chapter, we read in the verse 21, Israel kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. Keeping the feast, driving out the leaven, there was great gladness. Gladness is mentioned again in verse 23, rejoicing in verse 26, and rejoicing, revival. Then broke forth in the kingdom. And you know, while we can never promote revival, we can prepare for revival by driving out the leaven. Evan Roberts in Wales, returning to his home church in 1904 and setting forth the prerequisites for revival, he said to them there was 4 things that needed. I read 3 of them to you. He said, the past must be made clear by confession of every known sin to God and every known wrong to man. Secondly, he said, every doubtful thing in the believer's life must be put away. Thirdly, he said, prompt and implicit obedience must be rendered to the Spirit of God. And you know, the people hearing Him and heeding Him, revival breaking forth, over 100,000 people were converted in a period of 5 months. My friend, before there can be revival, there must be repentance. There must be that mourning over our sin, and more than that, driving it out of our hearts, driving it out of our lives. We sang a little earlier this evening, search me, O God, and know my heart today. What's that? My friend is keeping, as it were, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As they search their houses, search for the leaven. So we need to search our hearts by the light of God's Word. And of course, the hymn goes on. Am I to talk in the 4th verse, O Holy Ghost, Revival comes from Thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. But my friend, that's the last verse. The first verse begins, "Search me, O God." And if we're to know revival, and God wants to send revival, there needs to be the keeping of this feast, a searching of our hearts, a driving out of those things. They'll only, if they're allowed to stay, they'll only rob you of blessing. Only rob you of God's power, even in your life. My, you've been to the Passover. The blood has been sprinkled. The death angel has been turned away. My friend, there's no time to stop. Immediately, keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Immediately, begin that daily searching in the light of Scripture. And then we can pass on. As we'll see even tomorrow night, the Feast of Pentecost, we can know then even the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. May God help us. Help us daily to search our lives and by His power to drive those things out, even off our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening that Thou hast our interests at heart. We rejoice, Lord, that Thou dost long to bless us. Thou dost long to open up the windows of heaven and send the showers of blessing. And for that reason that Thou hast commanded us even to search our hearts, Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst help us even daily to be in the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that as we come to the Scriptures, that we might know the power of its light, that we might see not the faults in another, but we might see the faults in our own lives. Oh God, we confess tonight that so often You've highlighted things, and my, we've been forced to admit them, but we've done nothing about it. Oh God, help us to drive those idols out. Help us to grind them to powder, and to burn them, and to destroy them, and to put them away. Oh, that we might know Thy blessing, even upon our lives. Lord, thank You for each gathered here this evening. We pray, Lord, that You would even part us with Thy blessing. Give us journeying mercies and undertake for us. For we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.